Hello and welcome to this reflection from Streatham Vale Baptist Church. During this time of year, the number of gym memberships goes up by about 12%. People begin dusting off recipe books and diet plans. There are many posts on social media that talk about things like New Year, New Me. The beginning of a new year means that people often make New Year's resolutions in an effort to improve themselves from last year. But we all know that most people give up their resolutions pretty quickly. According to one statistic, 23% of people give up their New Year's resolution by the end of the first week of January. And by the end of January, 75% of people have given up on their New Year's resolution. Of course, it's not wrong to want to better oneself. It is commendable to set goals and try to live a better life. We all have bad habits that we want to break and good habits that we want to take up. But it can be tricky to achieve what we want. It takes effort and commitment. But the problem comes when we try it all in our own strength and wisdom, and when we set the goals that we want to achieve without asking God what he wants to achieve in our lives. Over the next couple of months, we're going to look at our habits and how we can align them with God's ways. So we'll consider what bad habits we want to break, what good habits we want to develop, and how we can work with God to achieve this. And so this week, we're going to start with thinking about what bad habits are burdening our lives. I've got two readings. The first one from Colossians 3, verses 1 to 11. Since then, you have been raised with Christ. Set your hearts on things above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on earthly things. For you died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly nature: sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires and greed, which is idolatry. Because of these, the wrath of God is coming. You used to walk in these ways, in the life you once lived. But now you must also rid yourselves of all such things as these: anger, rage, malice, slander and filthy language from your lips. Do not lie to each other, since you have taken off your old self with its practices and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge in the image of its creator. Here there is no Gentile or Jew, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave or free, but Christ is all and is in all. And our second reading comes from Mark chapter 7, 1 to 23. The Pharisees and some of the teachers of the law who had come from Jerusalem gathered around Jesus and saw some of his disciples eating food with hands that were defiled, that is, unwashed. The Pharisees and all the Jews do not eat unless they give their hands a ceremonial washing, holding to the tradition of the elders. When they come from the marketplace, they do not eat unless they wash, and they observe many other traditions, such as the washing of cups, pitchers, and kettles. So the Pharisees and teachers of the law asked Jesus, "Why don't your disciples live according to the tradition of the elders, instead of eating their food with defiled hands?" He replied, "Isaiah was right when he prophesied about you hypocrites, as it is written, 'These people honour me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. They worship me in vain. Their teachings are merely human rules.' You have to let go of, you have let go of the commands of God and are holding on to human traditions." And he continued, "You have a fine way of setting aside the commands of God in order to observe your own traditions. For Moses said, 'Honour your father and mother, and anyone who curses their father or mother is to be put to death.' But you say that if anyone declares that what might have been used to help their father or mother is Corban, that is, devoted to God, then you no longer let them do anything for their father or mother. Thus you nullify the word of God by your tradition that you have handed down. And you do many things like this. Again, Jesus called to the crowd and said, "Listen to me, everyone, and understand this. Nothing outside a person can defile them by going into them. Rather, it is what comes out of a person that defiles them." After he left the crowd and entered the house, the disciples asked him about this parable. "Are you so dull?" he asked. "Don't you see that nothing that enters a person from the outside can defile them? For it doesn't go into their heart, but into their stomach, and then out of the body." In saying this, Jesus declared all food clean. He went on, "What comes out of a person is what defiles them. For it is from within, out of a person's heart, that evil thoughts come. Sexual immorality, theft, murder, adultery, greed, malice, deceit, lewdness, envy, slander, arrogance and folly. All these evils come from inside and defile a person." So the Bible has a number of different lists which detail some of the sins and bad habits that we fall into. And we are instructed to put to death and to rid ourselves of these things. But in order to do this, there are a number of things that we must first need to do. Firstly, we need to make an honest assessment. In the reading from Mark, we hear about an encounter Jesus has with the Pharisees. The Pharisees were considered the people with the highest purity in Israel, always striving to obey the Mosaic law to such a high standard that they were considered above reproach. Their reputation was such that all looked to the Pharisees as examples of how one was supposed to follow the law. The Pharisees had many rituals and ceremonial cleansing rites that ensured they did not come into contact with anything impure. And so these Pharisees were horrified when Jesus and his disciples did not follow these traditions and instead ate with so-called defiled hands and defiled crockery. In their confidence of their superiority, they challenged Jesus and his disciples, demanding to know why they were not holding to the traditions and purity laws. But Jesus essentially tells them that they are fools who are deceiving themselves. He explains to them that they were so concerned with outside purity and human tradition that they were neglecting the inner purity and the ways of God. As he states, "You have let go of the commands of God and are holding on to human traditions." And he continued, "You have a fine way of setting aside the commands of God in order to observe your own traditions." And then Jesus goes on to explain to them that the things that enter the body through the stomach do not defile. It is things that come out of the body, that come from the heart, that defile us. Now, that might seem pretty obvious to us, and we might like to think that we are better than the Pharisees. We know it is the inner things that causes evil and not anything we eat or any outer thing. And yet, despite knowing this, we are still obsessed with trying to improve our outer life rather than focusing on our inner life. How many people will have a New Year's resolution that focuses on improving the outside, to lose weight, to eat better, to exercise more? Compare that with how many New Year's resolutions focus on the inner life, to be kinder, more self-controlled, more generous, more careful with words, etc. We, like the Pharisees, so often focus on the outside things and neglect the inner elements that defile us. And so let's make an honest assessment of ourselves and not fool ourselves like the Pharisees were doing. How often do you check in on the condition of your soul? How often do you question your thoughts and motives? How often do we consider what our emotions are pushing us to do? It is unfortunately very easy, scarily easy, to deceive ourselves and not realise how much our lives are being impacted by impure thoughts, patterns of behaviour and emotions. One commentator noted that habits, good or bad, are a lot like seeds. They may not produce their harvest overnight, but in due season, they will definitely yield the crop they are pre-programmed to yield. A good habit will eventually produce a good harvest in your life, but a bad habit will produce a harvest of failure and death. This makes it more important to do regular, honest assessments of our lives. In Colossians, Paul warns us to set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. If we don't take time to regularly check in with ourselves and see what is happening in our lives, then we subconsciously start focusing on earthly things and we fall into pursuing whatever belongs to your earthly nature. These are the things that we used to do before we received Christ, and it is easy to slip back into these bad habits. That is why it is important to take time to do those regular, honest assessments of ourselves and to recommit to God's way, not our way. Secondly, if we want to both identify the bad habits in our lives and to break the hold those habits have on us, then we need to have a healthy identity. Often when we want to start a new habit or break a bad habit, we make a plan based on what we'll do. This is certainly true for most of the New Year's resolutions people make. For example, if my goal was to lose weight, I would focus on doing more exercise, making better choices on what I'm going to eat, doing more healthy cooking, and so on. It all focuses on what I could do or the choices I could make. But instead of focusing on what we can do to achieve our goals, we need to start with identity. The identity of God, our identity in God, and who we want to be. So going back to the example of wishing to lose weight, instead of focusing on what we can do to lose weight, let's make the goal more identity focused. I have been fearfully and wonderfully made by God. He lives within me. My body is his temple. I want his temple to reflect more of him, and so by his strength, I want to become a healthy person. This flips the narrative on its head, and so it becomes about living more into the identity that God has given us, rather than trying to strive to do different things. Paul tells us, "For you died and your life is now hidden with Christ in God." We have died to our own old ways. Our identity is found in God now, and so we have the strength of God to overcome our bad habits. Now, this does not mean it's easy to overcome our bad habits and sinful ways, but it does mean that God is with us, giving us strength to resist temptation and grace and mercy when we fail. We need to be willing to turn aside and get rid of the sinful habits and practices, but we can only do this when we recognise our identity in Christ. It is only by acknowledging that God is holy and cannot stand sin that we even realise where we have fallen short. So all those bad habits that belong to the earthly nature are abhorrent to God. He calls us to put to death any sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires, greed, anger, rage, malice, slander, filthy language, deceit, and so the list goes on. And all these things and others impact our relationship with God and with others and even with ourselves. When we recognise God's identity, we begin to understand afresh just how much of a mess we make with life. Without the grace given to us by Christ, our acknowledgement of our sinful situation would cause us great depression and hopelessness, as by ourselves there is nothing we can do to redeem ourselves. Only when we recognise the freedom and salvation that comes from Christ are we able to accept and put on the new self which is being renewed in the knowledge of the image of its creator. This is why we need to also recognise our identity in Christ, so that we can be assured that we are loved, forgiven, renewed and strengthened to fight against our earthly nature. The Holy Spirit now dwells within us and he works to transform us from the inside. Thirdly, many of our bad habits and sinful behaviours have a root in the lies that we have come to believe about the world, about ourselves, about others and about God. Satan, the father of lies, is constantly whispering in our ears, trying to convince us of more and more lies that draw us away from God. And so, if we want to get rid of our bad habits, we need to challenge those lies. One of the lies that the Pharisees believed was that if they did all the purity rituals that humans had created, they would be clean and righteous before God. That God does not want rituals, sacrifices, or ceremonies. He wants a contrite, committed heart that bows to Christ as Lord. Jesus challenged the lies that the Pharisees believed in to try to point them and the crowds around them into the right path to relationship with God. What lies do you believe that lead you into bad habits, negative thought patterns, or impure feelings? How can you challenge these lies with the truth of God? When Jesus was being tempted by Satan in the wilderness, Satan tried to lead Jesus to sin by lying and twisting the truth. But Jesus refuted Satan each and every time with scripture to keep him on the right path. Satan first tempted Jesus by instructing him to turn stone into bread, and he said, "If you are the Son of God." Satan tried to get Jesus to buy the lie that he had to prove himself to others. How often do we believe the lie that we have to prove ourselves to others to be accepted, liked, respected? Jesus denied Satan's request, saying, "Man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God." He rejects the temptation to turn stone to bread, but he also rejects that temptation to prove himself as only God's opinion, only God's words matter. We do not have to prove ourselves to anyone because we are God's children and there is nothing greater than that. The second temptation Jesus faced was to test if God loved him and would be prepared to save him. Here Satan tries to get Jesus to believe the lie that he is not worthy or not loved enough by God. But once again, Jesus is secure in his position as God's son and states, "It is also written, do not put the Lord your God to the test." Next, Satan tries to get Jesus to believe the lies that he deserves more than God has given him and that the things of the world will satisfy. Satan shows him the kingdoms of the world and says, "All this I will give you if you will bow down and worship me." But Jesus knows that nothing can satisfy except God and states, "For it is written, worship the Lord your God and serve him only." Satan regularly plays on our self-worth and tries to get us to believe that we either don't have any or that we deserve better. Are there lies about your self-worth that you are grappling with at the moment? Please hear that you are loved and valued by God. But you are also not better than God. Recognize the truth and challenge Satan's lies with God's truth. So we see that if we want to challenge our bad habits, we need to trust in God and to rely on him and his strength. We need to identify those bad habits in our life with an honest assessment, not allowing ourselves to to deceive ourselves. We also need to have a healthy identity of who God is, of who we are in God, and of who we want to be through God's help. And finally, we need to challenge the lies. So, are you willing to walk with God as he transforms you more and more into the person he wants you to be?